Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Snyder from Ohio Exopolitics. We are once again trying to get our simulcast together. Okay. I think I've got Mad Painter on the line. Mad Painter, are you 229? Let me see if that's him. Hello, is that Mad Painter?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Hello, hello. Okay. Is it working?
We finally
right,
got
have to bring the,
okay.
I have to bring the station in about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
All right. Whenever you're ready, pop it in, and we're live here, so I could play a little music.
Oh, we're live now?
Yeah, we're live now. We
no,
went
don't
live.
Play no music, because when I pull
okay.
it in, it'll mess up.
Okay.
Hopefully, it'll pull you in now.
I'm
not sure it's going to.
Oh, really? Okay, so this is still a...
Yeah, a lot of times I got to hang up. If I got a phone call on there, I got to hang everything up and then call everybody back.
Okay, well, if you got to do that, do that. I guess.
And Warrior was Earth's Blue Raven, too, by the way.
Miss Solaris, how are you?
She's all right. I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's all this. You know, I've been playing around with different kind of things to record shows with. I got some really good software. Actually, it's called Pamela for Skype. So I can record at any time and then later upload it to Blog Talk. So I've been using that a little bit over this beautiful Labor Day weekend break. So hopefully we can get our simulcast technique down here. I think this ought to work. Either I'm going to have to call you or you're going to have to call me, but it's got to work one way or another.
Got about a minute and a half, and I'll have to bring it in.
And
it
we had
it.
Yeah, I don't see
well, it all depends on Skype. Skype's the issue.
Yeah, Skype is the Skype is the challenge these days.
I'm getting a phone call from somebody. I don't know who it is.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, I think it's for the last show. They were trying to get on the last show.
Oh, okay.
So this one, Robert Potter's show, usually don't get too many calls unless he has a guest, but he's not here tonight, as you know. That's why
has
we're
he,
picking this show.
He's been off a couple nights, hasn't he? I mean...
Yeah, he's been sick. I hadn't told anybody he's been sick. I just told everybody he didn't have an internet. He's had internet problems. But he's been sick, and he will be back next week. So.
Good.
That's real
good. He's had some health issues. Mm. Okay, the intro is about to start. Got about 10 seconds, and then the intro starts. So here we go.
All right.
Let's show them what we got.
Family of Archimeders, sentient beings from all dimensions in time and space. The psychedelic Dolphin Man, the man with a plan, a super soldier for the light of legend in his own. A true hero with hands of light and a golden touch. The world's most sincere radio host, broadcasting from Earth inside the mothership of the galactic central sun. The voice of the resistance, his divine grace, 333, Rob Potter!
Good evening, folks. This is a Mad Painter, and I'm filling in for Rob tonight. The last couple of weeks, Rob's been sick. I haven't told anybody. I was telling everybody that he had internet issues, and that's really not the truth, but I didn't think I should bring it out into the public that he has been pretty sick. But he's on the road to recovery, and he will be back next week. So this week I've got Mark Snyder with me and Solaris Boo Raven, and we're trying out a little experiment. We're trying to get us on Blog Talk Radio at the same time. I'm not sure if it's working. Is it working, Mark?
It sounds pretty clear to me, Painter. Your voice is much clearer. For some reason on the intro music there was kind of garbled a little bit.
It always is on the Skype. Skype doesn't like music.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're not made for music. They're made for voice over protocol, and that's it. It's not made for music.
Well,
I want to mention also that Rob Potter's site is victoryforthelight.com, so go check it out. I'm sure he's got some information up there about what's going on with him.
Okay. I'm getting some folks are telling me they're hearing a little bit of a hiss, but it's pretty clear. I think
it's clear up now for me.
Yeah.
It was there, but it's gone now.
I want to say thanks to After Dark Radio, and we've got Eve at the Tree of Enchantments in, and we've got about four other anonymous guests in. And how's Solaris doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you all?
I'm getting phone calls. I'm not sure if they're for this show or the last show. I imagine they're the last show. I'm going to go ahead and pull them in and find out.
Okay. I've got plenty to talk.
209, were you trying to call us or the last show? I guess it was the last show.
Did he hang up
on it? Yeah, let's try this one. 772, how are you doing this evening? You're on air.
Oh, gosh, I'm great. Is this Rob?
No, Rob's sick tonight, and I'm filling in for him. This is
okay.
Mark Snyder and Solaris Blue Raven.
Oh, okay. You know, this is the first time I've ever been on this show, and I saw the caller number. I'm trying to figure out how I can listen online. It's not really clear to me. I just wonder if you could help me out.
Go to www.freedomslips.com and
yep.
Scroll down a little ways. There's three players in a row. It says Studio A, Hawk's Nest, and Studio B, and we're on Studio A.
Okay, so I'm there, and up at the top it says call in line, and where do you click on to
scroll down a little bit.
Okay.
You see where it says Studio A on the left-hand side, and the middle it says Hawk's Nest, and on the right-hand side it says Studio B.
I see Victory of the Light. I'm clicking that. And then the next page, it just gives a phone number. It says Victory of the Light. And
you're
it
on
the
schedule page.
Yeah, she's on the schedule.
Go to the home page.
Okay.
Up at the top, it says home on the left-hand side of that little dark bar.
Okay. All right. I hope I can get on. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
It has been one weird week. Has it not?
It has been.
Yes.
I've been on overload. I've been on broadcast overload. I don't know what my deal is. I don't know how many shows I've done this weekend on Blog Talk.
I've spent 6 hours on air this morning.
God, that's a long time. That is a long, long time. Well, I got some interesting clips. You know, there's a whole lot going on in the Ukraine. And some of the stuff that we've been covering on my Blog Talk show. So maybe we can start out, unless you had another idea. Would you like to hear the sound of some Ukrainian fighter jets flying overhead?
I live next to an Air Force base. I hear them all the time. But go ahead.
Right. This is what's going on in the Ukraine. The only reason I do this is just kind of an example for people that modern warfare is not an option. And I think when you listen to the sounds of modern warfare, you can see that we don't want any part of this. We don't want to be over there. And if there's any way we can get it to stop is what we should be doing. Listen to these MiGs flying over a low level.
It seemed a few months ago.
Sorry about that. Wrong one. Let me try again.
Обходите в проводу!
Давай, спускайся, красавчик.
Вот это сейчас будет прикол!
Now, those are Ukrainian MiGs. Those aren't even the Russian MiGs.
Well, you know, Mark, that doesn't do justice of actually what goes on when there's a war. You have to, when they fly over like that, you actually feel it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the power of modern warfare, most people just cannot even comprehend. You know what I'm saying? Did I lose you, Painter?
No. Nobody here is ever, you know, except the few that have been over there to Iraq and that actually have experienced war in their own town. It's a little different type of, you know, thing.
Oh, it definitely is.
Right now, we're not face-to-face with the people who are causing the wars. You know, it's overseas. We're disconnected from it.
Absolutely. Can I bring in the Billy Meier case into this a little bit?
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sure you were going to. you're our expert on it here.
I know I'm kind of a broken record here, but anyway, Svath was Billy's first extraterrestrial contact. It occurred in 1945. Ironically, World War II was still going on. And one of the things that Svath told Billy when Billy was just 5 years old was that there is an age that's coming to the Earth. It's called the third millennium. And the third millennium, Svath said, would start when the United States would drop the atomic bombs on Japan, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, Billy has a book. It's called The Goblet of Truth. And it says, in the third millennium, that our leaders will become megalomaniacal, and they will take away our rights of self-determination, and that the people will become indolent, they'll become obtuse, they'll become indifferent, and the whole world will fall into a state of confusion and maliciousness. So this is a warning, and this is something we all have to try to avoid and try to fight against. I have some more sounds of heavy firefights in the Ukraine that I think might give your listeners another kind of wake up for what could happen, what could come here to the United States. Can I play this clip, Painter?
Yeah.
Okay. You can say no, man. That's all right. But listen, here we go.
Well, no, we've got some 2 hours to fill. That's what I thought we were here for.
Well, you're going to hear a really interesting gun. I don't know how many of our listeners are really up to speed on. There's a cannon. There's something magical about a 20-millimeter cannon, and I'm pretty sure this is what we're hearing. 20-millimeter.
I've actually fired one.
Seriously?
That's all. Qualified all the way up to a 3-inch 50.
My goodness. Well, listen to this. This to me sounds like a 20-millimeter cannon. And this is Ukraine war heavy firefights in what they call the Battle of Donetsk. Okay, that big gun, that was that. I think that's a 20-millimeter cannon. That's a rapid fire cannon. That's a real hellacious weapon there. So the people in the Ukraine are intelligent, hardworking people with modern weapons, just as the Russians are. And the one thing I want to argue is that we don't want to be over there. We don't want to be involved in this. What do you think, Painter?
I think we have no business over there. I believe we have too many problems in our own country that we need to deal with before going over into the neighbor's yard and trying to clean it up.
Boy, isn't that the truth. That's so true.
What do you think, Solaris?
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like we're just heading towards this, you know, everything's imploding at once simultaneously. So I have a sense that it's going to be pretty dark for a while until it all clears out.
I believe we're in a... We're on a rough road, but I believe it'll clear out eventually.
Right. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of conflict here, though, and, you know, just hold on for the ride.
Well, without conflict, there's no change.
Yeah, but you can change through transition through a more graceful modality, you know what I mean? Seems to me like there's a little more aggression, rather, and it's just going to get kind of gnarly.
I think we missed our window, myself. I see bloodshed coming, you know.
Oh yeah, I do too. Let me play a little more of this clip. I think people need to hear these sounds. Here you go. That's up close. That's a tank, Ukrainian tank up close. That's the engine. And I'll listen to some of the firing. Kind of an obnoxious sound there, but it kind of illustrates just the tremendous power of some of these weapons. Anyway.
Well, they are some powerful weapons now, tanks are. I mean, it can go, what, 40 mile an hour, climb over a 3-foot brick wall, slow down.
Well, the M1 Abrams tank, I think, has an 120-millimeter cannon that fires a depleted uranium round, which will superheat and burn through just about any tank in the world. Now, the problem is when that round ionizes, it's basically spewing out depleted uranium into the air, and then anyone around that breathes that in takes in that radioactivity. So
that's what we've been doing over there in Iraq or Iran, wherever it is. We've been using shells that are made from depleted uranium, and it ruins the land. And not only kills the people, it pollutes the land.
And it attacks the human genome, so the babies that are born, sometimes they're born deformed. This is how insane...
They're already happening over there.
I know. I've seen those pictures of kids born with their intestines outside their bodies. It's horrible.
It is. I just don't understand how the human psyche can even consider doing something like that to another human being. It just doesn't. It's beyond my capacity to understand.
Yeah, I think we're being conditioned, though. Even with the video games, it's called, I had a guest on, Dan Willis, and he described it as human kill programming. So we're being desensitized to killing people.
Well, I have no problem with killing somebody if my life is at stake or the life of my loved ones around me. I have no problem removing somebody from this existence if they're threatening me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have the right to defend yourself, certainly.
Right. You have that unalienable right. Regardless of what anybody says, any court in the world, you have the right to protect your own, you and your own, period.
Absolutely. But I think what's happening is we're kind of, we've gone way beyond that in a lot of areas.
Well, but to take over another person's land because we want their oil and resources is ludicrous.
I totally agree. And many of these wars are about oil and resources.
Resources and stuff. Yeah, we've been joined by 406. Can we help you? We're on the air, by the way. Hello? Hello, hello? Last chance. I'm hanging up. Okay, he's gone.
You mind if I play that amazing clip? You remember that film you sent me of the second man being shot in Ferguson?
Oh, yeah. Well, did you hear about the one that happened the next Saturday?
Is that the third person shot in St. Louis?
Well, it wasn't. I don't think it was in St. Louis, but the cops were calling. I shot the kid 8 times or 16 times, and he was unarmed.
I got that clip.
Threatening suicide.
I got that clip,
you know,
I think.
A couple of days before that.
This may be the same one you're talking about. I'm not sure. Are you talking about the one where the guy was saying, shoot me, shoot me?
No. There was no video of this.
Oh.
They kept this hush up because it was a white boy.
Oh, really?
And cool. It was pretty weird. Anyways, I posted it up on Facebook about a week ago.
Well, this one's pretty weird, and I'm so glad you sent me that video because I played this multiple times on my show. Let me play this. I may not play it all, but if you haven't heard this yet, this will wake you up to what's going on in Ferguson or what was going on in Ferguson, St. Louis.
The police gonna pull up. Y'all call the police?
Come on,
he's bagging
bro.
Up. He got a gun out. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. They got their guns out.
Oh,
they just killed this man. Oh, my God. They just killed him. Oh, here we go again. They just killed this man. Putting him in cuffs. He's dead. Oh my God. They just killed this man. He didn't have a gun on him.
They cuffing him.
Now they cuffing him. He already dead. He already dead. Y'all see it for y'allself. The man is already dead. They cuffing him. They cuffing him. I got everything on camera. From the time it started in everything. Oh my God. They just killed him, y'all. He's dead. This is just like, I don't even know what to do.
That was the second shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. Not the original shooting, but the second shooting. And that's very sobering. And I think we're going to see the increased militarization of the police. Now, wait until they start using robots in police action.
We've been joined by 406 again. Can you talk now?
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm just calling in to listen. I am so sorry.
We don't have a call in to listen number.
Oh, okay. Well, just keep up the good work.
thank you, ma'am.
Hello, Painter.
Hey, thank you.
Painter, wait
yes.
a minute. Caller. You still there, caller? I can give you a call
yeah.
in the list number. You can call in to 917-889.
Oh, wait.
You want to write that
okay,
down?
Wait, let me, yes, sir. Okay, here we go. 917-889-7099.
You got that?
That would be 7099.
That's correct. 917-889-7099. We got it. You can listen there.
859? Okay, thank you.
No. Okay. It's 917-889-7099. Yeah, read that back
to me. Okay, got it. 917-889-7099.
There you go. Thank you.
And that's for Mark's studio, which is simulcasting this at the moment.
Okay.
Steve Revolution
on
Break.
Tonight?
Yeah, Steve Quayle was on a little while ago. There's our break, folks. We'll be right back.
Serial killers, she can't help the urge to want to get caught. What good are all those brilliant crimes if no one takes the credit? So she needs crumbs. Now the hard part is seeing the crumbs, the clues there. Sometimes any thought is the most gruesome aspect that turns out to be changing the seven. But she loves this guy to go weak with the strength.
You can find
we are the nails. The world stands upon the precipice of total insanity. And we need you, and we hope you need us. Bringing information, news, and as much truth as we can reach out before Mother Nature turns us to crumbs. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Working to millions of voices.
Revolution Radio. You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride, and they can bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it, Connor.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com. Finder of lost children and missing persons. Surveillance, civil and criminal investigations.
Are you investigating?
No, I am. Do not underestimate the power of good and do not dismiss the strength of a child.
Yes!
us every Wednesday evening on Revolution Radio. Come join our very own eye investigatrix, Amit Lassan, with her private eye X-Files.
So you're the scientist, those children.
Private Eye X-Files, every Wednesday from 7 midnight Eastern Studio B on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I realize it's very hard for you to stay tuned, but it's your destiny to find the golden child.
Every Tuesday evening on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, we present our guide, spiritual warrior, Kathy Pilsky.
I command. I call to the architect of the universe's divine creator and ask for permission to quantum leap the world in all life forms on all planes and dimensions, seen and unseen, connected with planet Earth, to let us go beyond our known potential into the greatest unknown golden age the universes and worlds and all planets have ever experienced.
Kathy teaches the spiritual truth so that you may create a better life and be able to make positive changes for yourself and for the planet. She helps us remember that we are not powerless, but very creative spiritual beings having an Earth experience. Time to quantum leap into the age of divine enlightenment and let Kathy provide you with the tools of knowledge you need to awaken spiritually. That's the Quantum Leap Show. Let Light Unite every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Studio B.
Hi, this is Bo.
This is Rocco.
And Bo and Rocco Show is here to offer insight into legal and lawful remedies. Our goal is to remain free and help others remain free in an ever-increasing police-like state. With the help of our guests, we try to answer questions such as what went wrong and what can we do about it.
So tune in to Revolution Radio at www.freedomslips.com Wednesday nights, 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to listen to the Bo and Rocco Show.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, folks. This is Matt Painter, and I'm coming in for Ralph Todd. The insight is victoryfortheLight.com, and you ought to check. It's a couple of weeks. He can't help it, and he will be back next week. He promised me that he will be back. Now, I haven't been telling anybody that he has been...
Here I'm talking with a microphone on my head. Sorry, folks.
Thank you, Painter.
And this is Victory for the Light, Rob Potter's show. And he's sick. He's been sick for a couple of weeks now. He's had some pretty serious health problems, and I've been covering for him. I haven't told anybody. I've told everybody that he's had internet problems, but I've talked to him, and he said to go ahead and let y'all know he's doing okay, and he will be back next week no matter what. So I'm sorry. I'm sitting here with Solaris Blue Raven and Mark Snyder, and I'm going to go ahead and let them plug their shows, if they would, please.
Go ahead.
I'm Raven. Raven starts Witching Hour, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time on Saturday night.
Which is a
strictly
interesting show, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And I'm on Ohio Exopolitics. That's on Revolution Radio, Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I also, on Blog Talk, have an Ohio Exopolitics. And if you just Google Ohio Exopolitics, E-X-O-Politics, you'll find both shows. Typically, Sundays, we do a Sunday evening show at about this time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So you can get me on either. And we've been doing a lot of shows over this Labor Day
week. You've been on air quite a bit today, I noticed.
I have never been on the air this much. It's been very, very interesting. I know. So you're the boss painter. You tell me where you want this to go, and I'll follow your lead.
Well, first, I want to plug my shows.
Okay, go ahead.
I've got a show on Sunday mornings at 11 to 3, which is a four-hour show. And most of the time it's a roundtable, but I have guests sometimes. And I have a show on Monday nights with Mark Eddy, my co-host. It's called Open Canvas. And this week, let me pull up the paper so I don't get the guy's name wrong. I'd hate to pronounce his name wrong. It's Mark, I don't have the right paper up. So, anyways, it's about James Bond, so it's going to be a very interesting show, and I hope you all tune in. Mark, this is going good. I think people need to know what is possibly a pattern that's forming here in the United States that looks as though we are going to go to martial law and all-out war.
Let me go back to the Billy Meier case and then come back to our current state. I think it'll give us a big picture. Is that all right with you, Painter?
Sure.
Okay.
Solara, you better watch Solara, so she'll reach over and smack you.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Go ahead. I'm just chilling out. Go ahead.
Please, Solara, jump in there anytime. You had some really good questions right, the other day when I was on your Dark Matter show. But
thank you.
Billy's first extraterrestrial. First of all, who is Billy Meier? Edward Albert Meier is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He's in his late 70s now, and he lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruti. It's about an hour east of Zurich. His first extraterrestrial contacts occurred when he was just a boy, about 5 years old. He was living in Bulak, Switzerland, and he started getting these telepathic messages to go out into the forest and play. And he also got mental images of this elderly man who called himself Spock. So anyway, one day, young Billy went out into the woods and he was playing in the forest and looking down at some fish in the stream. And then out of the sky came a silvery pear-shaped craft. And out of this craft stepped this man who Billy had seen in his mental images, a man named Sloth, who was about, well, he was a little over 1,000 years old. And he walked over to Billy, took him by the hand, and led him back into the ship, and started to tell him about what he was going to do in this lifetime, and that he would be a prophet and a teacher, and that he would teach an ancient universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And the teaching of the spirit, you could divide it into five different categories. One describes what the extraterrestrials call the creation or the universal consciousness. The second category is about the human spirit. The third teaches us about reincarnation. The fourth tells us how to control our thoughts. And the final category is learning to be responsible. And Sloth told Billy that he had had multiple lifetimes here on the earth teaching this information, and that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And he taught this ancient universal teaching during each one of these lifetimes, which was really kind of the basis for all of the earth religions. Now, Billy was taught by Sloth for 11 years, and then he was told he would get his second extraterrestrial teacher. Now, Billy was 16 years old by this time, and he was told to go up on top of this hill in Switzerland and wait, and a craft would pick him up. And that's exactly what happened. This craft came down, landed, and the door opened, and Billy walked over and stepped in the ship, and there was no one else in there. He sat down in the seat, and the door closed. The ship became invisible. Billy became invisible, and the ship just shot off to the Middle East, and it landed in a country called Jordan. Billy stepped out of the ship, walked over to one of these very, very large red rocks. He put his hand on the rock. He felt the heat. Somehow he knew he was in Jordan. Well, it was getting to be dark about that time. And then out of the sky comes what looks like a falling star. Eventually, he can see it's another spacecraft, a large disk which lands close to where he is. And then it just sits there for half an hour. He has to wait for half an hour. Out comes this very striking woman, and he knows who it is because Foth told him his second teacher would be a woman named Asket. Now, Asket is not from our universe. Asket is from a parallel universe that these extraterrestrials call the Tao universe. The Tao universe was created 46 trillion years ago, as was our universe. Foth, or Asket's people, are called the Timmers. They actually started out in our universe. They were descendants of the Lyrians, as the Plearen are descendants of the Lyrians. Foth was a Plearen man. Eventually, the Timmers left our universe and went into this parallel universe. So anyway, Asket walks over to Billy, and Billy is struck by this woman. He goes, wow, I just know her. I don't know why I know her. So he asks her, well, why do I know you? How is it that I know you? And she says, I can't tell you that. I'm not allowed to tell you that. But if you search your thoughts and your feelings, you'll probably understand why. She says, hurry, we have to leave. We have to go to the Great Pyramid at Giza because we're going to go in a secret passage far into the Giza Plateau, and I have to show you something that's there. So they hurried, and they got into her ship, and they left, and they flew somewhere near the Giza Plateau. Her ship landed. They got out, and she put a device on Billy's belt, pressed the button, and Billy became invisible. He was amazed by this. He goes, wow, this is incredible. She pressed a button on her own belt, and she became invisible. And then she said, look, we're going to go into this secret passageway that I know that's in the Great Pyramid. We're going to go down these very, very dark corridors far below the Giza Plateau. And we're going to have to be very, very quiet because the people that live in these old cubicle constructions that are some 72,000 years old, they're a renegade group. And they're kind of a splinter group from the Plearen, and they're dangerous. So we're going to have to be very, very quiet. So anyway, they go off on this long trip. They go through this secret passageway. They're in this dark, dark, dark hallway that the contact notes, they say it's like an Egyptian darkness. It's pitch black, and they're walking down this hallway. And then eventually off in the distance, Billy can see this light. So they keep walking, and eventually they get into this humongous hallway with this giant hallway with a very, very high ceiling. And the light seems to come from everywhere and yet nowhere. And Billy looks over and he sees these guards that don't see him, thank goodness, and he sees this large ancient spacecraft. And then he sees something that really shocks him. He sees what looks like a Y-shaped cross. It looks like artifacts from the crucifixion, and he's very stunned by this, and he doesn't know what to think of it all. Well, Asket can see that he's shocked by this. So he's led back out of this hallway by Asket, and they go back up this long, dark hallway. And when they finally come to the surface, Billy asks her, what did I just see? And Asket explains that there's a group on the earth that have been here for tens of thousands of years. They are called the Giza Intelligences. They are a renegade group, a splinter group of the Plearen, and they've used religion to deceive the people of the earth. They've appeared as gods, and they've appeared as angels, and they have a kind of technology that's called telenotic impulses, which has literally mind control the people of the earth. And they've been doing this since ancient times. Now, part of the mission of the Meyer teaching and part of the mission of these extraterrestrials is kind of to free the people of the earth from this influence. This Giza intelligence influenced the people in the Thule Society in Germany, influenced Hitler, and this technology that they have, these telenotic impulses, will affect the people of the earth for the next two or three centuries still. Now, when Billy heard all this, he was like overwhelmed. He just didn't even know how to even absorb all this information. So she took him back to Switzerland. And after much thought on this and much meditation, he decided he would study the religions of the world. So he kind of left home at a very young age. And after much travel, much of it was actually on foot, by the way, he ended up in India. And he was studying in something called the Ashoka Ashram. And in the ashram, he met a woman named Phobal Chang. Well, she was a little girl at the time. And eventually she would become a UN diplomat. Well, this little girl would see Billy and Asket walking through the gardens, involved in these very, very deep conversations. Phobal had telepathic contact with Asket, and this little girl knew that Asket was a woman from another world. Now, some of the gardeners that worked there at the Ashoka Ashram thought that Asket was a goddess from heaven. Her ship would actually hover over the ashram there at times, and the people of that surrounding area would see her ship. So the culture in India is a little different. They're more up to speed and they're more awake and aware of these
they believe in extraterrestrials. It's all through their culture.
They absolutely do. When I speak to some of the other programmers where I work, oh, they say, of course. Of course there's extraterrestrial. And you know, that's so different from the way we are here. You know,
it's the other side of the coin, you know.
It's totally. And, you know, I've talked to some of the people I work with about the Great Pyramid of Giza, some of the Indian folks, and they realize that there was an ancient culture here that was more advanced than we are. Now, we in the West have not accepted that yet. And I know, Painter, we've done shows before on the ancient monolithic structure.
Somebody thinks this is Rob Potter talking, and it's not. I got Solaris Blue Raven, Mark Snyder, and a Mad Painter, by the way. And our audio is all good to us. It must be at your end. Turn it up. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, anyway, Billy studied at the ashram for a while, and eventually he left. And when Phobal Chang grew up, she eventually went to Switzerland and visited Billy. But Billy left the Ashoka Ashram. He met his wife, Calliope. He had his terrible bus accident where he lost his left arm. But eventually he recovered, and him and Calliope went back to Switzerland. And Billy had a normal life for about 11 years. And then the contacts started again in Switzerland about 1975. And a woman named Semyase started to contact Billy. She would land her beam ship there on the side of the hillsides in Switzerland. And in the beginning, she would step right out and walk over to Billy and sit down underneath the tree in there and talk to him. And she would say some of the most profound things she would tell Billy that wisdom and love go together, and that the creation and its laws are wisdom and love at the same time. She explained that every human has within them a spirit that does not die, that does not sleep, that records all of his thoughts and his motions, and a spirit that will tell him if his thinking is right or wrong if he learns to pay attention to it. She said the spirit of every human is a tiny part piece of creation. And she explained that it resides in the center of our brain, in the area that controls our eye movement, and it's no bigger than the head of a needle. But she says it produces an energy which runs like a web or like a filigree throughout the whole body, and it animates every cell in the body. She said, when you die, that spirit will come out of your body and it goes into what they call the spiritual realm or the fine matter world, which exists in the same space as our earth, but in a slightly different dimension. And that spirit will stay there on the other side. On for earth people, the spirit will be there about a lifetime and a half. So the typical time for an earth human would be about 115 years, but that can be even shorter during times of overpopulation. Anyway, the universal consciousness takes the experience of your life, the experiences, and stores them in the storage banks. And they're kind of arranged like a mosaic. At the appropriate time, your human spirit is placed back into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. Now, when that spirit comes into the body of the child, it animates every cell, and the child starts evolving under consciousness evolution. Before that, the embryo evolves much like a plant. It receives impulses from this universal consciousness. Now, something interesting also comes down. Something called the consciousness block comes down, and it takes all of the previous past life experiences, and they're stored in your subconscious. So all the wisdom of your predecessor personalities and my predecessor personalities are stored in our subconscious. So as you grow up again, your consciousness will be inspired by the experiences of your previous personalities. You'll receive inspiration subconsciously from your previous personalities, and you'll be impulsed from the storage banks. So that's the way you gain wisdom through each lifetime. Now, Billy's human spirit is very, very ancient. The extraterrestrials refer to it as Nokodemian, and it's lived lives on other worlds. And in Contact 238, the English translation says that 26 million years ago, Nokodemian led his people from the depths of the known universe into the oldest space-time shifted regions of the constellation of Lyra. Now, I think that may be an error in translation. I think that spirit led people into Lyra Vega before then, but we'll just leave it at that. But here on Earth, that spirit has incarnated as Enoch the first time. Now, The Pleiaron do not call him Enoch. They tell us the original name of this prophet was Henoch. And there was actually three personalities at three different times in the ancient past, same spirit form, I understand, that they call Henoch. The most important Henoch was born in 8903 BC, and he wrote the Henoch prophecies, which are for this time. And probably the most disturbing prophecy, which is a potential thing that could happen, describes this way. This prophecy says, in North America will occur the greatest disaster in recorded history. And after the break, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's our break. This is Thomas, a.k.a. Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio is a dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
Don't stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night Firefly. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hi, this is Bo.
And this is Rocco.
And the Bo and Rocco Show is here to offer insight into legal and lawful remedies. Our goal is to remain free and help others remain free in an ever-increasing police-like state. With the help of our guests, we try to answer questions such as what went wrong and what can we do about it.
So tune in to Revolution Radio at www.freedomslips.com Wednesday nights, 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to listen to the Bo and Rocco Show.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
Revolution Radio. Revolution.
listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslogan.com. 100% listeners supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, folks. This is a Mad Painter, and I'm filling in for Rob Potter tonight. And y'all ought to go check out his site, which is victoryfortheLight.com. And he's been sick, so if you want to send out a little bit of well wishes to him, you're able to. We'd appreciate it. I also want to remind everybody that Revolution Radio is totally listener-supported. If you like these shows that we offer y'all to listen to, We need some of your fiat money, and this month has been pretty crazy. We got struck by lightning. We were brought down by the host site itself for having too many hits. We're having to expand. It's costing us a good chunk of change, and to keep it going right, we really need your support. And we do have offers on the homepage where you can get stuff for supporting us. So we have the seed offers where, well, one of them is 35,000 seeds, 54 varieties for $100. I mean, that'll keep all your vegetables you need for 10 years. And I'm going to let Mark go ahead and pick it back up where he was at, because I think this stuff's kind of interesting.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Painter. And, you know, I'd love to hear any questions, especially from Solaris. So she asked some really good ones. So
she's been awful quiet. I'm scared.
I'm listening.
And she's quiet.
She's sleeping, man. So I tell you, she's sleeping over
watch
there.
But... No, I'm awake.
Okay.
No, just kidding. You're doing fine.
Okay. Well, you know, feel free to interrupt me at any time. Like I said, you guys just take the lead here. Well, the Henoch prophecy is contact 215. Henoch is one of the predecessor personalities of Edward Albert Meyer. Henoch was born in 9308 BC. It was interesting, too, the extraterrestrial Quetzal actually gave the Henoch prophecies to Edward Albert Meyer, Billy, as he's called now. Billy's not his real name, but that's what his nickname is. And one of the Henoch prophecies I'll read to you right now, and it deals with fires. It says, as already mentioned, enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes will rage all across America, while in addition, all the terrible effects of war will bring thousandfold death, destruction, and annihilation. Now, we've seen some incredible fires, and I talk about this a lot on my show.
Let me break in there.
Go ahead.
As far as California goes, for eons, there's been a cycle going on where the plants grow, they burn down, and then the next season they have mudslides. This has been going on for eons.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm not sure if that might be part of what you're thinking is this prophecy, but this has been going on countless times.
Well, I'll tell you something, Painter. One of the things that we have here that's very deeply ingrained here on the Earth for Earth humanity is what we call normalcy bias.
Right.
We tend to want to funnel everything in such a way that it's normal. Now, we just had in Washington State what they call the Carlton Complex Fire. It's the biggest fire.
Well, I was speaking of one particular region. I wasn't speaking of the whole United States. We have had some hellacious fires in the last 3 or 4 years that have been really unexplainable.
Right. Yeah, the Carlton Complex Fire is the biggest fire in Washington State history. In California, we had the third largest state fire in California's history, which was last year, the Rim Fire. So... yeah, you're right. You know, we've actually had even bigger fires if you go back a century or two centuries ago.
Yeah, there's been fires down in the we got one in, I believe it's Pennsylvania, that's inside a coal mine that's been burning for 40 years.
Yeah, that's incredible. Anyway, so I think the fires we're seeing now, since they're breaking records, are significant. We have in the
It's definitely peculiar.
Well,
yeah, I'll agree with that.
One of the things that we've seen is what they call fire natives. And I don't remember ever while I was growing up that they would talk about what they call fire natives. Have you guys heard of those fire natives yet?
No, I haven't. We've been joined by 309 and 631. I believe they might have questions for you, Mark.
Okay, I'll try to answer.
309, you were first. 309?
Hello?
How are you doing? You have a question?
Yeah, I try to do the website to get online to listen to the show, and it tore my little laptop to crap.
What do you mean it tore it up? I mean, it couldn't have.
But a blue and green screen.
Well, I'm sure that wasn't our website.
I can give you another call-in line if you want. If you want to call in 911.
He just hung up. It was a troll.
It was a definite troll.
Okay.
Don't we have any troll spray around here?
It was probably because of my show this morning. I started out talking about trolls, and I posted it on Facebook, too, this afternoon. So I figured out I have a little bit of trouble.
Oh, well, it's entertaining.
There's nothing on our website. I don't even think that our website uses cookies.
No.
I'm not positive about that, but I don't think it even uses that.
Well, wouldn't have taken down his computer. That's a darn sure good grief. Operator issue, perhaps?
He must have been friends from some other radio station.
Mm. My goodness.
Go ahead, Mark. Continue, brother.
Did you say that our server has had so many hits that it had problems? Too many hits?
The hosting site wanted to close us down because we were getting too many hits. We had to upgrade it.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
We had problems with the site earlier tonight because they just shut us down and didn't say anything.
My God. It sounds like we need a new hosting server.
Well, really, they shouldn't have done it in that manner, but you know how businesses are.
Okay, yeah. Now, is it okay to play clips? Some of this is some of the kind of news stuff you can find on YouTube.
As long as it don't have music in it, it'll work, because it's all under, I can't even think of the name of the copyright, but it's educational, you know.
Fair Usage Act.
Yeah, Fair Use Act.
Fair Use Act if it's for educational purposes. So let me play this, and then you can tell me to turn it off.
That's what we're trying to do is educate people.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Fire natives, as per the Billy Meyer prophecies.
Wildfires are raging and families are on the move, people pulling together to beat back the wall of flames. One man armed with a garden hose, refusing to let his house burn. A little girl in pink cowboy boots, her home in cinders. Firefighters in silhouette battling the blaze, a full moon filling the sky as houses are burning below. And tonight, this is the map. Multiple fires, including a big one right there in San Marcos. As you can see, that's where ABC's Cecilia Vega is on the front lines tonight. Cecilia.
Diane, good evening. We have a fire burning behind us right here. We've had flames reach up to 10 feet tall. And take a look at this. Firefighters standing guard. This is what they're protecting, a house right here. Every minute counts out here. In the last 3 days during these Southern California fires, we've seen more than 10,000 acres torched.
A school under siege. Flames coming within feet of Cal State University San Marcos. Firefighters struggling to keep the blaze at bay on a hillside. While two university workers picked up hoses and fought off flames too, trying to save their school.
I think you guys might be heroes.
No. There's no heroes here. The only ones that are heroes is the fire department.
Final exams and graduation canceled, a campus evacuated as this fire burns dangerously close to the school grounds.
These firefighters are fighting this fire right here with air tankers. You can see this one's about to drop on this hillside right there on that ridge. You can see firefighters on the ground. This is the problem. This fire is mere feet away from Cal State San Marcos.
Nine fires raging in San Diego.
Good job. There you go. There you go.
Investigators now looking for a cause, including the possibility of arson. This and all fires treated as a crime scene. And now, in this torched land, it is a scavenger hunt for clues. From looking at burn marks on trees and rocks to finding out if a neighbor cut grass recently. Anything a potential spark and a hint that could point to the origin of this fire. It is a heat and wind-fueled battle Southern California has been fighting for 3 days. Sending flames shooting up mountainsides, plumes of smoke into the air. Firefighters struggling to save what they can. What they tried to save with hoses yesterday, today looks like this. A business engulfed in flames, now unrecognizable.
Now, these fire trucks that you see out here are ready to go at a moment's notice. The biggest issue out here today, the temperature, it hit 99 degrees. That has not helped in fighting this fire. So far today, 13,000 new evacuation notices, 1,000 acres torched so far. And Diane, so far this fire is just 5% contained.
5%. Okay, thank you so much, Cecilia. And now we want to focus everyone's attention on some of the startling images from this emergency. Here is one of them, a whirl of fire stretching into the sky. Some people call it a firenado, danger compounded by speed. So how do they form? ABC's meteorologist Ginger Z tells us.
Swirling tubes of fire erupting out of the wildfires in California again today. Sometimes called a firenado, the guys who fight them call it a fire whirl.
When a group of firefighters come up and there is a fire whirl, do you attack it differently?
You can't really attack that. It's kind of it has an entity of its own.
Some only last a few seconds, others 10 to 15 minutes.
Some of them may only be 4, 5, 6 feet tall. Others can be hundreds of feet tall.
So how does one of these fire whirls get going? In wildfires, the atmosphere is hot and dry, but the temperature within that fire can be thousands of degrees. That difference in heat mixes and can start rotating. A fire whirl forms when strong winds then come together with intense heat, rising very quickly. The fire can even break off and displace, starting other fires.
They lift embers into the air, and then that can be caught by the wind or cast out away from the existing fire line.
Anyway, the Meyer material talks about what it called enormous natural catastrophes and rolling walls of fire and violent hurricanes. It says it will rage across America, while in addition, all terrible effects of war will bring thousandfold deaths, destruction, and annihilations. Now, here's something that hasn't happened yet. America's largest cities will be absolutely destroyed. And firestorms will cause great disaster and misery. And I didn't know what a firestorm was until the past year or so, where we've had these incredible fires. Now, I'll just go quickly through some of the fires that we've had. In August 17th of 2013, last year, we had the Rim Fire in Northern California. It burned 402 square miles. It was the third largest fire in California history. We had the Pony Complex fire in Idaho, which was a 149,000-acre fire. We had what was called the Funny River fire in Alaska this year, which was 302 square miles or 193,000 acres. And the Carlton Complex fire in Washington State burned about 400 square miles, four times the size of Seattle, or 256,000 acres. And I think what's happening is that we just have so many catastrophes all the time that we're just almost numb to it. What do you think, Painter?
Well, I don't know about being numb to it. And really, the reason you're hearing this is because now we have the internet and news is instantaneous. Before then, they only waded through so many and given you the top 100 news stories, and that was it. So we're having an overflood of information. I mean, I believe this kind of stuff has always really happened. We just didn't hear about it.
Well, we never had a fire in Washington State this big, right?
Well, maybe not, but, I mean, them kind of records are always being broken. I mean, the biggest volcano, you know, the largest earthquake. And, I mean, them are always in transition. To me, prophecy is something that's better left unmessed with, if you know what I mean. I mean, because if you bring the concept forward, reality is going to try and bring the concept forward just because you've had that thought.
What if we're on the wrong path? What if...
We are.
That's obvious.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, if we think it's normal, then we're not going to do anything different.
That's true. Well, it's acclimation. People are acclimated to what's happening around them. And that's what we're dealing with right now from day to day. I mean, they think it's business as usual.
Exactly.
Well, but see, with the world, have something that's normal for the world, which is billions of years old, far older than we are as a civilization here, you know, it's a little different. Normalcy for the earth is something that's, you know, we only see a little sliver of it.
Well,
that's very true.
Our historical records only go back about 300 years for these fires. And
they're dependable.
Hmm? Right.
Any history over that is all speculation.
Right, exactly. But we know, at least in the last 300 years, there's not been a fire this big in Washington State, and we've had a record fire, a third largest fire in California. What I'm trying to say, and what I'm really been trying to do for the past year, is to wake people up to the fact that this is not normal, and that we are destroying our...
The way these fires are burning is not normal, too.
Right.
They're burning hotter, they're burning longer, and some people think it's because of the chemtrails, the aluminum in the chemtrails, and pollution from the air traffic.
And I agree with that. I think it's also because we've created a situation where we've destroyed so many of our forests. Because, you know, the forests are kind of the moderators of our climate. They produce shade, they absorb moisture, they slow down wind, they even probably help keep it a little warmer in the winter. But because
they give us light. They breathe in our waste carbon monoxide and breathe out oxygen.
I know. And we keep destroying the forests. We keep, you know, we keep knocking forests down to build schools and grocery stores and drug stores and homes. And what we've done is we've created a situation where our climate is going to get more and more and more intense. Like last year, and I've only been alive for about 54 years, but in my lifetime, I have never seen anything like the polar vortex, which occurred last year, where there
was pretty cold.
Remember? There was that massive traffic jam in Atlanta, and people
were
stuck.
I believe this is actually, they're talking about global warming, but what the warming they're seeing is a precursor to a new ice age.
I agree.
And you can tell that by the winter's moving pattern. Your vortexes that you're talking about, right now already in the northern part of the country, the trees are starting to turn. Winter's coming. And it's coming early.
Well, last year, I don't know if you guys remember, people were stuck in their car on the expressways for 14 hours with no food and no water.
Oh, in Atlanta you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's because the idiots don't know how to drive in snow.
Well, that's
true.
They
get it once every 3 or 4 years, and it's for 5 minutes, and then it melts.
I know. But the Alabama highways were backed up. Texas had problems. There was emergency declared in 6 or 7 states. People were sleeping in schools and drugstores and grocery stores. In the Great Lakes, all the shipping
routes. Was there snow right there already this year?
Not yet, but I can tell we're going to have an early winter.
I thought I heard a report that it was already some snow.
Not where I live, but yeah, the leaves are starting to change and the temperature is getting cooler. So yeah, I'm predicting a cooler and quicker winter, unfortunately. I like autumn. I don't think we're going to get one. But, go ahead, Mark. Did I cut you off?
Oh, no.
No, I
didn't,
so I could hear
you. Okay, good.
This is your voice.
Oh, no, he's doing great. Hey, no, before we end.
Too.
What's that?
I said, I think he's doing great, too.
Oh, he's
I was
fine.
Just joking, man.
I have something I want to read to you guys at the end, though. It's called Ocean of Lights, Return of the Ancients. It's from Transmutation Through Ascension, my original book in 2004. It's very, very short.
You can read
but
it
I'll
now.
Read that towards the end of the show. I don't want to interrupt your flow. So
oh,
you're
not,
go
you're
into
not,
that.
Actually,
this parallels... Yeah, it parallels your work with Billy Meyer, actually, when you think about it. Anyways, this is from my book, Transmutation Through Ascension. And this is about Atlantean energies and basically the reflection of what's happening on the timeline. But it runs like this. There will be a time in the not-so-distant future when we will all make a choice. At some point in the space-time continuum, we as a three-dimensional civilization will be no more. The technology mankind has been so dependent on will become the final curse. For one cannot have technology without the spiritual evolution to guide it. We as a species are mutating to a higher octave. We are dropping density and becoming more light beings. As this occurs, all three-dimensional objects will diminish. Computers as we know them will become obsolete. The superconscious mind will be the new supercomputers. Faith will keep the spiritual family alive, and faith and knowing will propel your spirit into the ascension wave. Spiritual evolution is the key to our survival as a species. Without it, the race of man will be slapped on the petri dish of life. It is not my intention to sound discouraging. However, these conditions may arise if the current timeline remains in flux. Now is the time for all souls to unite without judgment in unification with the great cosmic mind, meaning emerging in equal respect to all religions into one glorious band of energy. Hold on to the light of the universe, and this world will never grow dark on us. Release thoughts of mistrust and hostility. We are all one in the eyes of the universe. Invoke the divine law of grace to enter into your heart and assist you in becoming aware of the changes to come. Most of all, no matter what occurs, remember, we all are part of and in alignment with the universal master blueprint of life.
I love that. That's awesome.
Thank you. That's from my book, Transmutation Through Ascension.
That is very nice. We've been joined by 519.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I is.
You is? Well,
we all are. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I guess I must have just missed, as I dialed in, missed Solaris's, that sounded like a fantastic poem, Solaris. I mean, really.
Well, it's not a poem. Yeah. Thank you. It's from my book.
I realize that, but the way you spoke and whatnot, it could have been a poem. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Anyway, getting back to just before, because I missed that little part where you, I guess you segued into Solaris's poem there. We're talking about the polar vortex. Myself, I still have to go back to, when I harken back to, an event that happened Christmas Day 2004 in Sumatra. I'm not going to deviate from the fact that that one event shook this planet immensely, and it's still reverberating, and planet Earth is still adjusting to that, and even after 10 years. I mean, I don't even think we've even yet have come to the realization of what that one event, and that was a massive event, what that one event, whether that was a cosmic event, whatever, that one event is still shaking this.
Are you talking about when it snowed down there, or are you talking about an earthquake?
No, Sumatra, when they had that big tsunami.
Oh, the tsunami, okay.
The tsunami, yes.
I was a little confused there for a second.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that was in 2004. I mean, that was, I personally felt that event. I felt the event at Fukushima. I felt that event. I was 40,000 feet in the air when that event happened. I felt it. These events are still reverberating through, and we as lesser energies are not as, I don't know how to put this properly, but to be able to feel the effect of it. I mean, you have to think way out of the box to really feel all this. So these events that are happening, whether they're prophecy or whatever, when you're in tune with it, you can see them coming and way, way before the actual events that are happening even today. So I guess that's just a little bit I wanted to put in there to see.
Well, now, I wasn't putting down prophecies earlier. What I was doing was
I wasn't even going there with that, Painter. I was just mentioning the fact that we're having these events that have happened way in the past. I mean, 10 years is not that long. you know, 3-4 years is not that long. But
not in the history of the world. That was,
well,
I was getting at a little while ago with the fires, you know.
Absolutely, and we can go with the chemtrails. But the thing is that the way people are looking at today's events, I mean, you can even put them back to recent history, okay? But people aren't looking back that far. I mean, people can't remember what they did yesterday, let alone correlate something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. When it's on that type of a planetary scale, it is so massive that the human mind or the mind of man, I think the mind of men and women, not humans. Humans are a hybrid. That's for another time, another story. But they don't feel that because it's such a huge event that for them they're not able to conceive it or realize it and whatnot. And when things are happening to them in the moment, they can't correlate that back in time. I mean, there's things that in Krakatoa, I think, from 1880 or so, that's still affecting the planet. I mean, all these small things, I mean, it's still reverberating through. And anyway, so I just want to put that out there so that, you know, when it correlates to other writings, even how far back they go and whatnot. So, hey, thanks a lot for having me on. Keep it cool, too, and keep on rocking on. Thanks.
Appreciate you coming on and giving us that information. I think it's pretty good thought. So you think these things are just reverberating around our reality and are still affecting what our future is going to become?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm in the electrical field, and once again, it's a field, and fields expand and collapse. So until things move forward, you're still going to be in that expanding, collapsing field, and that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we're a frequency. We're all a frequency, so just think about that, expanding and collapsing. Until you move forward, you get out of that expanding, collapsing onto the next level or onto the next timeline or in that timeline moving forward, you're still within that reverberation of the expanding, collapsing field. So I'll leave now. Okay.
That was great. Solaris, what do you think of that?
Actually, yeah, I mean, I mention it all the time that we live in a basically everything is frequency and energy and consciousness. I mean, that's basically the simplicity of why we're here on this planet. It's all about consciousness and energy. And if you break us all down to the molecular atomic structure, it's all frequency. So what we're dealing with, and if anybody digested what I said without all that other stuff and the feedback, but literally it's about where mankind needs to go in consciousness and how we need to get there. And it's not about any one religion. It's not about any one belief system. It's about frequency, raising your vibrational frequency and understanding higher levels of consciousness, because when you understand the levels of consciousness that are synchronized with the universe, you drop all these things that we deal with here on Earth, like greed and money and all the things that have been controlling mankind. I mean, it all fades to black. It all goes away.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, but I thought that it was a nice call.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was too. Mark, what's your opinion on it?
Very good call. I have a call on this side, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, state your caller, 832. Warning, I'm getting ready to bring you on the air. State your first name and where you're calling from, and then make your question or your comment. Okay, there you go, 832.
Yeah. My name is Chuck Stansberg. I'm down here just outside of Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
And what I was wondering about, I know I've heard a lot about it, read about it, and so on and so forth. Is it actually true that right after Billy wrote the book and he was shot at a couple of times?
There's been 21 attempts on his life. Some of them have been...
I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah, some of them have been gunshots. Some of them have been people, you know, messing with his car, you know, just ruining the brakes, various different ways. 21 attempts on his life.
Wow. Well, from what I understand when I read the book, I couldn't put it down when I started reading it. It's awesome.
Which book?
But when I got the Talmud of Emmanuel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And when I got to the end of it, he was talking about, there was a couple of letters there, and one of them was about a friend of his that was helping him with the papers, I guess you want to call them, to rewrite it from Hebrew to German and into English. that he, him and his family was also terminated in some, by somebody.
Yeah. You're talking about Issa Rashid, the priest that did the, he wrote, how was that? He took the original documents, which were in Aramaic, and started the German translation. The first pass on the German translation, he was attacked by the Israeli Mossad. Him and his family were gunned down. He, just before that happened, he hid the transcript in like the walls of a house, which was partially burned. So we didn't get the whole Talmud of Emmanuel. But you really enjoyed reading that?
Oh, yes, I really did enjoy reading it. Usually when I'm not much of a reader, but when a book starts intriguing me from the beginning, then I can't stop reading it. I've got to read it all the way through, especially that book. It kind of got to me because the way it's set up in German and English, you have German on one side and English on the other, and you have to turn the page to read your English part, but which is pretty good. I really enjoyed that. And my conception of what they did, I think there was like 40-some-odd scripts, but only 31 or 32, whatever it was, got translated, and and it is in the book. Is that correct?
Did you we have actually another one coming out next year, a new updated translation. Billy has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Billy has made some changes, and there's a guy that's translating from the German to the English as well. Is there one particular thing that you really were moved by when you read the Talmud? Was there something that you found particularly interesting?
Yes, the part that Emmanuel was saying to his people that, what do you think is a god above? Yes, if you want to call them a god, but they are protectors of this earth and also other human races throughout the universe. And I thought, wow. You know, and when I completed the book and everything, it just kind of gives you a different view of what the Bible says and what the Bible is in different terms of how people print it up and how they interpret things.
Well, one of the things I think is really interesting about the Meyer material is it tells us that there are 7.5 million human civilizations, I think, in Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing thought. So
that was a conservative number myself.
And that is an amazing thought. Beings, there are, and I know this for a fact, there are beings out there that are protecting our galaxy and Earth and also the other planets in our galaxy that, because we are one of the richest galaxies in the universe as far as minerals, leads, and whatever else the planets have, that beings like us, we are considered a being to them, like us, that would need such as water, minerals, leads of any kind, you know, and just different things like that.
Have you had an unusual experience that allows you to know some of these things?
I sure have.
I am a
contactee, yes.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but anything that you feel comfortable telling us might be interesting.
Sure. Let me start it from the beginning there. When I got into ufology almost 50 years ago, excuse me, and I kind of got interested in it. I got in the Marine Corps after I got out of school, and when I was overseas, I saw a couple of objects, and I even talked to some of the fighter pilots about whenever they were out bombing or doing whatever they're doing, and they said they had seen quite a few bit, you know, and they weren't allowed to engage with them. But I've always wanted to go up in one of their ships. I don't care who it was, as long as they were friendly. And I always look up at the sky. I never talked out loud. I always thought with my mind. And a year ago, April, is when I got my quote unquote experience, first time. And through another person that is a contactee. And I met this being. He is a vegan, a reptilian, and I even have a copy of a handmade print of him, what he looks like. And I finally got a contact with him through, matter of fact, it was through Skype. When this other contactee called me into Skype, we were talking a little bit, and then all of a sudden, here's this being with his language talking to the other person, and I thought, who is this? And he introduced me to him and everything. And that night, I got to go up on board ship with my friend, and because it was some kind of rescue mission for one of their ships, and it was interesting. I only got to know just a little bit of it, and that was it on that part. But from then on, I've been going up to the ship many times since then, and I remember some of the things that took place, like going to other different planets, going
sounds
to one
like
planet.
You need to interview
a lot of
this
water.
Guy on a whole show.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. What you said that this reptilian was a vegan. You mean he was from Vega?
It's not vegan. It's vegan. And they're not from the vegan planet or area or whatever you want to call it. Their home is outside of our galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did he look
their
like?
Our ships are immense.
Immense.
Well, if you guys have an email, I can send you a copy of the picture.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, you can send it to M. Snyder 5, the number 5, at columbus.rr.com. What was your first name again?
Chuck.
How do you spell that?
C-H-U-C-K, Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Short for Charles, you know.
Okay.
That was M. Snyder 5 at what?
columbus.rr.com. Hopefully I won't get 10,000.
I just wish. I heard to have that many fans emailing you. We've been joined by 607, too, by the way, and Laura Lee.
Painter, we're going to have to do this again. Yeah. This is getting some popularity.
Oh, yeah. You need to get stay in contact with this guy and do a whole show with him.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, you want my information?
Sure.
Okay, all my information, you can email me at Eisenida, NTUFOBuffs, BUFFS, @gmail.com. Of course, you already got my phone number. That's my email.
I don't think Mark can get your phone number, can you?
832, right?
Yeah, it's 832. Well, that's all you have is just the...
Yeah, that's all you need to tell. I got the rest of it. Yeah, you don't need to say that
on
here. INTUFO, INTUFOBuffs@gmail.com. Okay.
Right.
But yeah. I don't want to bog us down in the details, all those details. So you claim...
Eventually we do. This sounds interesting.
Well, you've met a upright reptilian, a intelligent reptilian, and he can speak English?
He can speak just about any language he wants. They have a certain type of, I don't know what you want to call it. It's some kind of technical stuff that they wear on their heads, and they can, when somebody talks to them, they can understand them through their language. And when they talk to us, that's how they learn, I guess, the different languages from around the world. He knows, I think, several of them, from what I understand. But I have met his type of his type of people, and also there were a few others up on board ship. This ship is massive, very massive.
Now, when you say massive,
he's the commander of this ship, and it's a battleship.
When you say the ship's massive, is it bigger than a mile long, or?
It can hold up to 500,000.
Wow.
It's huge. I mean, really huge. And they have compartments in each one of those ships. There's five ships that I know of that I've been around on, and each one of them have compartments, basically, or sections that are strictly for certain types of beings that are on board ship. So they could have their own type of meals, their own type of air, or whatever it is they have. You know, and humans are one of them. And you'd be surprised how many humans are up there helping out to keep Earth and this galaxy safe.
Chuck, you want to hold on the line? We got a few other callers we want to bring forward here, don't we, Painter?
Yeah, we got three of them, as a matter of fact, I believe. Let me look and see. 607 was the first to join. Are you there?
Hi, mister. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
You have a question?
No, I got just a little comment there that the young lady made about everything being connected. And the Lakota had this word in their vocabulary for thousands of years. It's Metakke Oasian, which is literally translated as all my relations. The meaning, however, extends beyond that of the English translation to not only include the human family, but all of the animal, plant, and mineral kingdoms, as well as the forces of nature, wind, thunder, and lightning, plus the elements, that we are all connected in the intricate web of existence on a website called Metakke Oasian. And we're all connected, and they knew this.
Have you ever heard of that, Solaris?
Well, I'm familiar with everything being connected. I mean,
yeah, I know that.
Pretty much, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously into the mystery school teaching. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of Native American teachings that basically are very similar to the level of where I'm at on a mystical realm. So, yeah, so similar language.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a reason we tried to eradicate them from the earth. You know, it's, they knew.
Well, everything's entangled. Yeah, it's all consciousness in motion, bottom line. That's the simplicity of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Thank you.
No problem. Laura Lee, you join next?
Yes, I did join, and I'm glad to speak to you all this evening. I wanted to talk to the idea, not necessarily of us being all connected, even though that's one of my beliefs. It's about the weird weather we've been having the last, 4 or 5 years, I would say. I mean, I used to have a 12-foot gardenia hedge. I live in deep south Texas, and it has, over the last 4 years, been frozen about 3 times and had to be cut back, and it's about to die. So the weather has been changing, and the change is something you can find pretty clearly mapped at geoengineeringwatch.org. They have a map of global temperature changes, and it seems that the eastern United States, like everything east of the Rockies, is much cold, much cooler than usual. And the rest of the globe is not getting cooler than usual. It's getting much hotter than usual. And it is Dane Wigington's contention that this change is engineered, that they have been focusing on engineering hot and heavy on part of the continent to encourage folks to put together a geoengineering program to save us from the ice age or something. And it's a part and parcel of the, well, part of it is that weird nucleated snow we've seen over the last couple of years, the snow with the odd burning properties and then the plastic smell.
Well, that could be due to changes in our atmospheres, too.
Yes, it could. Yeah, it's due to changes in our atmosphere, stuff that's being dumped into our atmosphere by the ton every day on purpose to
right.
change the climate, yes.
Well, even for manufacturing purposes, I mean, they put tons of stuff into the air.
Yeah. But the global temperature map was really convincing to me, and I think we can continue to see colder and colder weather here on the North American continent just because.
So what is your conclusion? We are headed towards another ice age, or it's global warming?
It's global warming, and we are being led to a certain set of beliefs that we have a right to manipulate the weather
to save our
civilization.
Actually, believing that a new ice age is coming is kind of like one of the you're nuts. It's worse than the normal global warming problem.
Yes, it is. Very much worse.
Because it completely goes against what you do, but certain things, certain aspects happen before something like this happens. We've been in an unusual warm period for a couple of thousand years.
Yes.
I think it's been 12,000 years since the end of the last ice age, and about every 12,000 years, something strange happens to us.
Yeah, and the end of that ice age was really traumatic, too.
It was weird. It shouldn't have ended it the way it did.
No, it shouldn't have. But it was like everything was in a blender almost. The megafauna disappeared off the North American continent in that one. But, do give geoengineeringwatch.org a look and have an eye on that temperature, global temperature map, because it's really revealing.
Thanks, Laura. That was great.
That's my thing.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the information.
Great.
We've been joined by 206 now. Are you there? 206? I guess they're not there.
Hello?
There we go. Hello.
Hi. I'm just calling in to listen. I've seen you guys on there and was wondering exactly what you talk about. So that I'd call and see if I can gather more information.
We're pretty much talking about anything. What's on your mind?
Well, I can tell you I've been praying more than I ever have in my life lately.
That could be a good thing.
I don't know. I guess we're just really praying for wisdom in everything that's happening, that we will be directed to the best way to prepare and to prepare to help the most amount of people, because I think so many people are going to be caught unaware.
What would y'all's estimate be about people who are awake of what's going on in the world? I don't think we're anywhere near 6% yet.
I was going to say 3 to 4, probably. Yeah. Not much. I mean, we're doing our best out here in Washington, but there's a lot of really liberal people.
that's a lot of dumb people, for lack of a better term to use. I don't know what else to use.
Unaware. Yeah.
But we're going to have to reach a point where we ain't going to be able to worry about them people. We're going to have to worry more about the ones who are awake.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be a cutoff point somewhere, and I think it's not too long from now.
I think you're correct in that assumption.
What do you, Mark and Solaris, what do you think?
Well, I think we've reached critical mass.
Yeah. You're just thinking the same lines as me.
I mean, bottom line, yeah, it's basically just do your own work, be prepared for any transition, and just be prepared. That's all there is to it. So.
It's amazing how your mindset can change when you see the critical mass coming, how things that you thought were important are no longer important, and your priority changes.
Kind of like a train wreck. You don't want to look away, but you do.
Pretty much, yeah. So even my 18-year-old daughter who's sitting next to me is, getting prepared and being aware and talking to people, and it's, you know. It's a good thing.
Well, I'm glad you called in. Are you in our chat room?
No, I've never been in the chat room before in my life.
Well, not in the chat room. You're missing half the show, people. So get on down there.
No, I'm just doing my laundry and listening.
Well, glad we're entertaining anyways. Mark, you still have your caller on the line?
Yeah, Chuck, have you heard, have you gotten any messages from these reptilians in terms of what we're doing to our planet? And, oh, I think I just lost him. He just dropped.
He's going to make a good guess. That's going to make a good show.
Yeah, that was weird the way he just dropped. I don't know what caused that. That's it happens, I guess.
We only got about 6 minutes left of the show. So I want you all to tell your show times again tonight or before we go. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Ohio Exopolitics and Revolution Radio is 8 to 10 p.m. on Saturday nights on Studio B. And if you Google Ohio Exopolitics and Google, you will also find my Blog Talk radio show. And you should be able to find it. And there's 832 back. We've got about 8.5 minutes. Chuck, are you hearing anything from your contacts in regards to weather or also in terms of wars, how we're destroying our Earth or anything of that nature?
Well, excuse me. They, from what I've heard them talking about, they have been, them and the Alliance, there's a Galactic Alliance, and they all have, these are all different types of beings that come from all around the universe, and there is a war, a galactic war out there at this time, and it has been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. It's still just still going on, and they have been to each, almost all the governments in this, on this Earth, trying to talk to them, and they just won't listen. You know, they'll say, yeah, okay, you know, and just leave it at that, and trying to get us to become a one people. You know, like they are, like say the vegans or the Greys, you know, they are a different type of being, and they're basically, they would say the same thing about us. We are a different type of being. We are human beings. They are reptilian beings. They are gray beings, etc. And they want the Earth governments to get together and say, hey, enough is enough of this killing and wanting land and all the different religions that people fight over and all this good stuff. They want everybody to get together, be one human race, and stop all of the bombings and killings and so on and so forth, and get to where they're supposed to be as far as who we are and what we are. Okay?
It's real interesting what you said about religion there. And I have a real short clip. I know we've only got about 6 minutes left. I want to play just, maybe I'll just play the beginning of this. Let you guys listen.
Every year, televangelists attract more than believers. They draw hundreds of millions of dollars from all around the world. All of it is tax exempt, but should it be? Senator Charles Grassley is investigating six top TV preachers. And tonight, our chief investigative correspondent, Armin Katayan, has a hard look at one of them, Kenneth Copeland, the so-called godfather of prosperity gospel.
To live in the Garden of Eden, hallelujah!
In one TV sermon after another,
somebody shout amen!
Kenneth Copeland and wife Gloria implore viewers to sow the seeds of their faith by following God's word and donating dollars, promising a hundredfold return in happiness and wealth.
It's a bottom line business.
This former ministry employee who feared being identified answered hundreds of prayer requests a day, most sent in with donations, before quitting, feeling betrayed by Copeland's gospel of prosperity.
I receive it!
He is the recipient of the prosperity message.
So when he's preaching health and wealth,
he's filling that bottom line on his business.
That's why Senate investigators are digging into whether ministry resources are being diverted into an array of for-profit companies tied to the Copelands. Cattle, horses, aviation, real estate development, and gas and oil wells, to name but a few. Michael Hoover, who worked for the Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 5 years, quit in 2005 over disagreements with the church. He is one of three former employees who told CBS News they witnessed other employees doing work on behalf of for-profit businesses tied to the Copeland family.
I believe that they were using a lot of the ministry's assets.
Mark, the show's about the
for personal.
All right.
Businesses.
The nonprofit.
Music's done started there.
Oh, has it really? Well,
was an interesting clip. I hope y'all enjoyed the night. Remember, Rob Parler's site is promiseoflightrevealed.com, or I'm pretty sure that's it. So it's been a long day for me. So y'all have a good evening. We're off of Revolution Radio.
Okay, we got about
Blog Talk.
We got about 4 minutes left on the stream here. That was a lot of fun, Painter. I appreciate that. I hope we can do it again.
Oh, this has been a good show. You know,
I do.
Do what again?
This kind of simulcast again.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I like it.
We're on two different stations this right now, or were.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot that we actually have to quit like 5 minutes before the hour. I was looking at my own stream over here, and I was letting it roll. Yeah, maybe we can figure
it out. I can tell you a lot more about what's going on up there and where I've been and what I'm doing up there as well.
Well, you know how to get to the show, right? I mean, you called in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I do plenty of shows. I might do a show tomorrow, in fact. So we could follow up even tomorrow afternoon or something like that if you want to.
Okay, yeah, I got an interview at 6:30 tomorrow evening with one of my cases that I have, UFO case.
Okay. Well, we can do it earlier.
So do you work with MUFON?
Yeah.
Do you have?
Yes,
any?
I do. I'm a state section director, field investigator, star team member, CAG team member. CAG is CAG. That's Case Assistance Group. The STAR team is a strategic group that goes out immediately upon somebody calling in on a landing, mutilation, that kind of thing.
Do you have any more photographs beside the one?
No, that's the only one. I got a drawing of his face and also his hand, what he looks like and what his hand looks like. Yes, he has a tail because he's a reptilian. And they do walk upright, and they also walk on all fours. there are spots in the ship that they have to walk on all fours because they can't stand upright.
Now, how tall?
They're taller than I am. Well, when they're tall up there, they're probably about 7 feet.
When he's upright.
Yeah, when he's upright. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, were you freaked out the first time you saw him?
No.
No.
It didn't bother me a bit because I saw the drawing first, and I thought, oh, what a nice-looking guy, you know. And when I first saw him, and also one of the others, it was a female. They're a little bit shorter than what the males are. And I was asked, by the way, by one of the elders that they have there, were you frightened when you saw us face-to-face? And I said, no, why should I be? Well, most people are from the beginning. And I said, well, let me put it this way. I was in the Marine Corps. I've been to war. I've been in different countries during that service. Also, I'm a retired cop, a state trooper and a city cop. And I said, I've been working with the public all my life, and I expect the unexpected.
So you're a retired state trooper?
Well, a city cop, actually. State trooper, I was there for about 5-6 years, but and I left there because it was too much like the military. That was in Colorado.
Typically,
I went to Oklahoma, retired.
That stream will go quiet, and the people in the chat room won't hear us anymore. But we'll keep recording. Typically, state troopers and police don't make up stories about having contacts with ETs. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, they don't. There's a phone number that any state trooper in Colorado, if they see or if somebody stops them and say, hey, look up there, you know, and they see a UFO, they take off. They don't bother to stay in there. They just leave. There's a phone number they have to call and report where this thing is, where at what time it is, and all that
really?
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
So state troopers have a protocol for dealing with UFOs.
Exactly. We didn't, when I was a state trooper, we didn't. Of course, that was back in, I got out in 69 out of the Corps, and I joined Highway Patrol then, and we didn't have those phone numbers then, but they do now. I mean, about 15 years after I joined the force, they went ahead and started doing that kind of stuff about UFOs because they kept getting phone calls, people that had seen them.
You know,
so they had to set up a protocol.
Sure. Wow. You know, Chuck, I get a lot of people contact me about this kind of thing, most of which I don't really pay much attention to. But when a person's an ex-state trooper and an ex-state or city policeman, you know, that's not the kind of person that typically calls in and makes up stuff like this. So,
true enough, I would never make anything up like that because it was always my dream to do something like this. And like I said, a year ago, April, I got my wish, and I thank that very much. And I just enjoy it. I got a lot of new friends, and they're not human, but they're my new friends.
When you have initially heard this reptilian person on Skype, what did the language sound like to you?
Well, I couldn't understand it, but when he did talk English, it was like deep throat, almost, you know, like kind of low and ruggly, you know, you know, talking like this, that kind of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
and
when
how
he was
many...
talking to, excuse me, when he was talking to my friend, he was talking to him in his language, and my friend was talking back to him in his language. And I have no idea what they were saying.
So your friend can speak this language?
Yes.
I think
they're trying to get me to do the same thing because sometimes when I'm up there, I'm sitting in a chair, and there's all kinds of figures and letters, like letters type stuff, and going past me real fast, and I have to stare straight to it and watch it as it goes by, and that's all I can remember because I think, from what I understand, I was told by my friend that they're trying to get me to learn their language and the language of two or three other beings.
Are you on Eastern Standard Time?
No, Central.
You're on Central, so you're like an hour before me. So right now it's 9 o'clock
it's
where you
9:02
are.
9:02 there.
Yeah. It's 9:02 here, and it's 10:02 there.
If I opened a show up at 12 p.m. Eastern, which would be 11 your time tomorrow, would you be interested in telling more of this story?
11 a.m. Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that, and we can finish in. Matt Painter, if you want to join us, that's your prerogative.
I'll be at work.
Oh, you're working?
I got to work. Yeah, I got to work.
On Labor Day?
Yeah, the boss is sick, and I got to keep running the crew.
Oh, my.
Oh, geez.
Got deadlines to meet when you're in construction.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Chuck. Well, I appreciate talking to you, and I'll open up a show at 12 p.m. Eastern, and love to hear you call in, and we'll follow up. And if you can get
it'll
your
one,
friend.
It'll be one I'll be listening to now.
Okay.
The archives. So, I look forward to it.
All right. And a good show, Painter, and nice talking to you, Chuck.
Have a good evening,
nice talking
guys.
To you all, too.
Bye-bye.
You all, too. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to shut this stream down now.